Everyone has a story. I get them to tell it. Welcome to the Aaron Bender Podcast, conversations with media personalities about their personal and professional lives and journeys. Thanks for finding the show, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Alexa, or your favorite platform, or watching on YouTube or DB&A TV online at dbandatelevision.tv or streaming on Amazon Fire, Roku, and Apple TV. Before we get to my conversation with Sarah Talby, a little about my story. I'm a widowed dad of two girls who just lost their mom, a grieving husband, a man in recovery trying to reconnect with the world with fresh eyes, faith, and perspective, a college journalism professor, a white guy in a world of injustice, a 20-year broadcast media veteran who had his dream job and then lost it. A year and a half ago, God gave me a gift, an opportunity to stop, step back, and breathe so I can learn about love, vulnerability, forgiveness, grace, self-care, patience, and understanding. Sarah Talby was born without arms, but a lot has changed just in the last few years for the 30-something living in Belgium. Sarah has become a mother, taken up painting, and built up quite a following on social media. We talk about lots of things she can do, like take care of her daughter, cook, everyday tasks like put on a bra. But as we cover in our conversation, people put more limitations on her than she puts on herself. I started by asking her, what was it like for her parents when they discovered they were having a baby with no arms?
So they discovered the baby I was didn't have arms when my mom was 6 months pregnant. And they are very religious. So for them, it was just like, okay, it's just a very different baby and that's it. So I think the fact that they really believe in God, etc., is kind of a spirituality that just helped them to accept. And for them, once I was born, it was this way, and that's it. And when I go, so I go with two brothers, I never really felt that it was different. So for my parents, it was exactly the same to have me or to have my brothers.
I grew up, not just grew up, I am colorblind. And so a lot of people ask me, like, what is it like for you? I don't really have, there's nothing to compare it to. It's not as if I was, you know, 8 years old and all of a sudden colorblind. I would imagine, not to put words in your mouth, but it's very similar for you where people ask, like, you know, what is it like? And you're just, well, it's just,
yeah. it's just the way it is.
Right.
And it's like my brain doesn't know anything else, so I cannot compare to something else.
How old is your baby now, and how concerned were you that your baby also would be born with either no arms or some sort of something?
No, I never had those concerns, to be honest, because I knew it was not genetic. I knew that nobody in my family doesn't have arms, and my brothers and my younger sister have arms. So when I decided to have a baby, it was, for me, it was just natural. Of course, the medicals told me we will focus on your pregnancy and we will check if everything is okay, and if there was something, we will just keep you like posted about that. And it was like when I was 2 months pregnant, we just realized that my baby was very like fit, and she had 5 toes on each hand, 5 fingers, sorry. And she had two hands with 10 fingers and two feet with 10 toes. I remember the doctor counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I was like, okay, it's okay. I knew it.
What was that moment for you? Was it, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what was that moment for you when you discovered, okay, she's got all 10 here and all 10 there?
Yeah. I remember just the noise of the heart beating. And for me, this was unbelievable to believe that alive was in my belly. Someone was living in my belly. So this was the most unbelievable thing. And when I saw her, so the you know, when they are 2 months, it's
right,
it's
at that time you don't know son or daughter, but yeah,
embryo. So it's really, and but I could just see that she was perfect already, and I loved her like the first second I saw this little embryo and this little heart beating.
How did you meet your husband?
So we I don't really like talking about him because it's like quite new for me to be on social media and to share, etc. But so I don't know where we stop the private life, and because a lot of people ask me that. But let's say that we know each other like since 10 years already.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Although our daughter is only 2 years. So it's a journey. It's and we just met because we have common friends, and like for me it was just normal and natural to meet a guy, and that's it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Take me, before we get too far away from it, you mentioned that the condition is not genetic. How did it happen for you?
So this, I talk about this in a video. So the doctors never answer this question, and they don't know. They say it's just like sometimes nature doesn't work like it should work. It's like, how can we relate to autism? We still don't know, and maybe in 10 years or 20 years we will have some responses. But I think it's a kind of nature have a sense of humor than that human being don't understand.
Take me through life growing up. You born and raised in Belgium.
Yes. Yeah,
tell me about life growing up. How were the kids? I can only imagine the kids here in the United States. I don't want to project what kind of mean things kids in other countries might say or do, but
I understand you what you mean, but it's crazy. But honestly, so I grew in a very big family. I have a lot of cousins, so it was like a micro society. I grew in a micro society already, so I was used to meet a lot of children. So for me, going to school was just others' children, different from all the family I had already, my cousins. So I always was a very social child, liking playing and having fun and having friends. So it was like, oh, you don't have arms? Why you don't have arms? Because this is this way. And you know, children, when you tell them this, it's okay, it's this way.
Right.
And that's it. So for me, I don't know, maybe those children talked like between themselves, but with me, I never felt any difference.
At what point did you start doing things with your feet? And was that something that your parents helped develop? Or is that something that you said, okay, well, this is what I've got, let's go.
I think, yes, when, you know, when you are a baby, you begin touching everything and you put everything on mouth and you just discover the world around you. It was exactly the same for me, but my brain connected to my feet. And my parents told me, we just realized one day that you were touching with your feet, and one day you took something to put on your mouth. And we were like, okay, she's just having things like all the children, but differently. And I developed a dexterity and flexibility with my feet and with my legs. But it's, as far as I remember, it was really natural. And my parents just let that developing. And this is why today I'm so, let's say, handy with my feet.
How about sport? soccer at all? Football? Sorry. I said soccer. I forgot.
Football.
Yeah.
No, I've swimming.
Really?
Yeah. On my back. I don't know how you say that in English.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like a almost a backstroke, but just, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. With my two legs. And so, yeah, I love swimming. I love swimming. Before the COVID, every Saturday, I used to go at swimming pool. Now with the COVID, it's very difficult because it was closed, so it was impossible to go. But I really love swimming a lot. And as I grew with two boys, like you said, soccer was the second religion, let's say.
Yes.
So, yeah, they I just played with them at a lot of sports like karate. You understand karate?
Yes, karate, yes.
So it was like boys' sports, but when I was young and when I became a teenager, yeah, it was swimming pool.
You brought up social media a short time ago. What went into the decision to not just get on social media, but say, okay, I'm going to kind of dedicate
I'm still not dedicating to that. Do you see me
well,
this way?
I mean, with 20,000 followers or whatever it is on Instagram, yeah, I mean that's some dedication there, I would think.
You put stress on me. Oh my God. No, it's really having fun and sharing. And I absolutely love sharing and having fun. And I love my daughter and I love just creating content with her or with me all by myself. It's a pleasure. It's a real pleasure to put that on Instagram and on YouTube. But I'm not dedicated to that.
Is it something where this was something you always wanted to do but didn't quite know the outlet for it, or you've kind of grown into this?
About what?
Well, the idea that there are a lot of people I talk with, they've always known, say for example, journalism. They've always known they wanted to be in TV news since they were 5 or 7 or 8 years old, but they didn't quite know, oh, I can make a career out of this. So
I think we never stopped to discover ourselves. You know, I discovered painting only 6 years ago. I was like already 32 years old. Imagine. I think if we have to just be sure of what we want or what we like, since we are a child, life is not really interesting then. Let's have fun all life long and let's discover a lot of ourselves, like all our life long. So I discovered that I really enjoy filming, which is quite crazy because I don't have arms.
How do you do it?
Excuse me?
I know one of your YouTube videos is dedicated to just documenting how you do the filming, do the shooting, right?
It's crazy. I'm sure if I apply to a job of movie maker, they would say, no, you don't have arms. I mean, and I can just focus at the moment on the fact that there are still a lot of things that you can discover about yourself. And just a lot of version of yourself, and it's never over. I never imagined I would be on YouTube and making video. I never imagined that. It just last year, it was a lockdown, and I just wanted to share more because I didn't have any more social life due to the lockdown. And I did that since 1 year, and I'm still here.
You mentioned that you didn't really take up painting until 6 years ago. How did you get into that?
So it was crazy because I am a translator. So I worked, I used to work in the past in Spanish, English, French. So I worked for NGOs And I had to stop because of back problems. So they just stopped me for a while and I was just at home. And I said, okay, I cannot stay at home like doing nothing. My work is over. It's not possible. And I love writing, you know, writing like, so I like having some notes and in my diary. And I don't know why this day my pencil just draw and didn't work. I just wanted to draw. I don't know why. And I draw an eye. I put that on my website, an eye. Sorry, it was crazy because it was an eye. And it was a female eye on sheet of paper. And I was like, it was crazy because it was a really beautiful eye. I couldn't imagine. I knew, like, I could draw. I didn't know I could draw. You understand?
You never doodled. You never, like, sketched anything. It was always just writing.
And I tried to make it again, and it was impossible.
I know. Isn't that so true? You just try one thing just on a whim or something, and it comes out so well. Then you try to duplicate it, and it's just a disaster.
It's impossible. And so I decided to take lessons, to subscribe to an academy, like a drawing academy. And I began drawing through this lessons. Like it was three evenings a week, and I really enjoyed. And then I discovered painting, and then I discovered a lot of things. And this was like a rebirth for me.
What did you discover about yourself?
That I could draw and paint, which is totally, and that I really, when I draw and when I paint, it's like I'm just in the moment, in the present moment. I'm not anywhere else. And it's quite crazy how much this activity can just put me in that. And it's like when I cook, I think we have some activities, the brain just forgets all around and even forget where you are and who you are. It's just about focusing. This is what I discovered about myself. And also that there are so many things you can do. There are so many, many versions of yourself that you can still explore. And it's never like, okay, I'm 30 years old or 35. It's over for me. My life is, no, it's, it's still a long journey.
You talked about how you had to stop work as a translator because of back problems. Yeah. Did you have an issue with, well, I've been identifying as a translator, that, you know, my career is my identity to a certain degree. What was that mental struggle like after all of a sudden now, like you said, you're home? What do you do?
I think when you are home alone, the first days you are enjoying because it's cool to not work anymore. and after, yes, I couldn't stay like doing nothing. And for me, life is that. It's, you cannot live your life half part time. Life is 100% or 0%. But it's never like if you begin 50, it can be dangerous. So I knew that it was 100 or zero. So let's go to 100. So this is why I just traveled a lot also at this time. I traveled at Cape Town, South Africa. This is the farthest I've been in my life, but also all Europe. And so I was not just like home all alone, all by myself, all day long, but I just tried to make some activities, and this is how I discovered also drawing and painting. But I'm sure that if I had never stopped walking, I would never discover about painting and drawing. This is crazy.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, just the idea that you've traveled so much since you've had to stop working, and also the self-discovery.
Yes.
I've watched many of your videos, so I know a lot of the things that I'm talking with you about and asking you about. But for people who are just now discovering you, and you've mentioned the idea that, you know, you love to cook, and so how do you cook?
So I have a chair, a very high chair, and at the same level of my kitchen, so my cook material, and I just sit down on this chair and do everything with my feet, just like someone would do with its hands. So it's just adapting about the situation. And I really love cooking. This is crazy also for someone without arms, that I really enjoy cooking. I love cooking because it's like all our five senses working. You know, you can see it, you can smell, you can touch, you can taste. So it's just, for me, it's the activity where the human being is more connected to its five senses. So this is why I think I really love cooking a lot.
You discovered painting and drawing 6 years ago. When did you discover your love for cooking?
With my grandmother when I was 5 years, I think. I'm sure that all the grandmother of the earth would say, no, don't help me, you don't have arms. But she said, yeah, come help me. So it was crazy. So she is one of the most amazing, maybe she is the most amazing person I've met in my life, my grandmother.
Why do you say that? What makes you say that?
Oh, she makes me feel that I was amazing and that I had just trust in me, and that my fact I don't have arms wouldn't prevent me from doing anything. Like, she was always encouraging me and always telling me how much she loved me and how much I was beautiful. I think when you grow with those words, it makes you believe that.
There's a motivational speaker, Nick Vujicic, who no arms, no legs. He travels the world giving these speeches and things. And in talking with a friend of mine who's gone to one of his events, there were kids also with no limbs, either no arms or no legs, and they're just crying, waiting to meet him. Do you feel at this point, especially with your social media reach, that you are an inspiration, that you are a role model of, and how do you handle that?
No, absolutely not. I don't think that. I receive messages saying that I inspire, but I guess that we are like not only for people with a disability. People with a disability is physical and it's obvious. But we all have disability. We all have something we struggle about. So Nick Vujicic, for instance, yes, his disability is really physical. But in his audience, I think there are many people without physical disabilities too. And they are absolutely inspired by this guy because they can just see in him their own disability. Disability is like a mirror. It's just like, you know, you feel exactly what you are inside. And just the difference is that we have our disability physically. And this is the only thing. This is why people think, oh my God, you are so inspirational. But it's just about my disability talks to their own struggles.
I remember the question I wanted to ask, which was, it was related to, I posted on social media this week just a little blurb on my story about how I need to stretch. I need to stretch. My muscles are so tight. I'm not flexible at all. I just stretched yesterday and I'm like, I can't even touch my toes. I can't. But in your case, you have to be flexible. Have you always been flexible to where your legs and feet need to go wherever they can go? Have you always been flexible? And with that back injury, how limiting was that for you?
My back injuries became when I was a teenager because my body was growing, and so the body is not made for being that flexible. There are some limits to the body. So my back suffered since I was like 15.
Oh, like scoliosis or something. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Already when I was a teenager. So I get operated when I was a teenager. I get operated 2 times. And so this back troubles were always with me, make part of my disability, let's say.
Yeah.
It's a consequence of the fact that I used my legs and my feet in a way that was not made for that. So when I had those problems, I just decided that my health wouldn't be dedicated to a career, but just to me and to my life and to my general life. And not, I didn't want work destroy the health that was still healthy, let's say.
Right. But you've always been flexible, though.
Yeah, always. I was, like I told you, for my dexterity with my tools, it was really something I developed since I was born. Like, not born, but since you are a baby.
Right.
Since when you are like 6 months or 7 months, you begin touching everything.
You talk also in a recent YouTube video about the frustration you felt shortly after having your daughter. You couldn't pick her up and hold her. And you mentioned something that, and I feel like, I think everybody would say, oh yeah, that would be frustrating. And many other things would also be frustrating. But one of the interesting things I feel like I heard in that video was that it was one of the first times, if not the first time, that you were actually frustrated. And that's not until your mid-30s.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I gave birth to my frustration.
Oh, yes. I think every parent listening to this could.
I think every parent, I give birth to my weakness and to my most vulnerability. It's crazy.
Right.
Before it was just normal for me. The frustration, it was okay. I cannot do that. But yes, my brain just related to the fact that I was homeless. But being a mother, it was completely different. I don't know if it was just because she was like in my belly and that I felt her. And so we were one. And then suddenly I need someone to, but I know that it was really hard for me at the beginning, because when baby just born, you cannot take them. They are so weak. You can even not imagine. I think even with two arms, it's really like,
yes.
How can I do that? So I wouldn't imagine hurt her or make her harm or something. So I needed help. I needed her father, and it was really frustrating for me to feel that. And I decided, okay, now you have to decide. You cry every day or you accept, because otherwise your life as a mom will be a nightmare. And I made the decision that our moments together with my baby would be like 100 more intense than a normal like moments. Like when she was with me, lying on me, I just enjoyed this moment a lot, because it was I made those moments very beautiful and not normal moments, because I knew that they were wonderful. And this is how I'm still with her now, this way. Like when we are enjoying at the park, for me, it's not just we are at the park having, no, it's wow, I can be with her at the park. It's amazing. I don't need anyone, and it's amazing.
Well, I think a lot of it speaks to you spent your entire life taking care of yourself and learning all these hacks, if you will, on how to do this, how to do that. And now all of a sudden, hey, just like drawing and painting, new challenge, but this is a life. Now you have to take care of another person, and it's all,
exactly.
it's a whole new learning curve.
Yeah.
to figure out, okay, how to take care of this and relying on someone else the way you have had to help.
Especially that, yes. Relying on someone else for your baby, not for you. It's maybe crazy, but for me, it's more difficult to ask help to take care of my baby than to ask help for myself.
How have you handled that? How have you gotten through that?
Like I told you, I decided to just accept it and to make the moment with her only together special and amazing. And this is why I think I film those moments also, because for me, those moments are unbelievable and amazing. It's not just about a mom playing with her baby. It's a mom that doesn't need anyone to play with her baby.
So 2 years old now, your daughter is 2 years old?
She's nearly three, like in okay. September, she's three.
So she's old enough to start asking questions, have a conversation with
about.
In fact, she doesn't, she always talks.
She understands everything, she understands. But it's crazy because the first time I talk about that with her, I made a video about that and I asked her, where are mom hands? Like in French, where are mom hands? And it was crazy because for me, I thought she would tell me, I don't know, your hands are broken or you don't have hands or I don't know. And she showed me my feet. It was crazy. And I was like, okay, so where are my feet then? And she showed me again my feet. And it was last year, so she was 15 or 16 months. This was unbelievable for me. It was I think it's the first human being on earth who shows me my hands.
It only took 37 years or whatever it is, right?
Right. Exactly. I said, oh, thank you, my baby. I find my hands now. I thought they were lost, but no.
Finally. Thank you for showing.
Finally, thank you.
Oh, my gosh. That's to see the world through somebody else's eyes like that, regardless of whether it's your child, but I feel like obviously with your child, it's that much more special. Talk to me about now getting to see the world through her eyes.
I think all baby and all children are philosopher, really. And maybe we just lost when we become like teenager and adult, we lose this ability of being like a real philosopher and taking life as it is and just enjoying the present moment. And she is really teaching me that she is just in the present and she's accepting all the world just how it is. And her questions even are just logical. And the responses she gave me are logical also. So it's just crazy because for her, yeah, it's this way. And when I told her, no, I cannot do that, she said, yeah, you have feet, so you can do it.
Right.
So it's crazy because for her, in her brain, my feet are really hands and feet. So she doesn't see limits or she doesn't see any disability. She just see that it's different.
We have talked a lot about what you can do. What is something that you've tried to, but you've just not been able to do yet?
Traveling by myself, but really like traveling like from the starting point to like all the journey. And this is something I cannot do because first of all, in all the airports, they generally don't accept that people with disability travel by themselves, which is quite crazy, but it's true.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have even thought about
that. Not a lot of people know that, But if you have a really heavy disability, a physical disability, you are not allowed to boarding.
By yourself.
By yourself.
What is their explanation for that?
The explanation is that if something happened, they are not responsible for helping you, which is totally crazy because I don't see. I traveled in Prague in Czech Republic, and the reason was if the plane had to just stop because of a problem on sea, someone would have to help you, but I said from Belgium to Republic Czech there are no sea.
There
is no sea. What is this reason?
So it's like, so you're capable of getting to the airport, you're capable of getting on the plane, but they don't feel like you're capable of helping yourself in case of an emergency.
Even not for the seatbelt, you are not capable to just open it and just run. If something happened in the plane, like if the plane is on fire,
right,
everybody should be able to just open like in 1 second the seatbelt and just run and just follow all the and just say I can ask to my neighbor to just open it for me. It's okay. I mean, I can run. So
clearly.
So this is only for reasons that normally will never happen. But they don't take the risk. And I traveled twice alone, and it was very difficult because I had a lot of limitation. Like, where are you going? Are you traveling by yourself? Are you traveling alone? Yes, and I had to justify that, yes, I have my friend in Ireland that I'm just going to travel to her. It was like 7 or 8 years ago, I had a friend in Ireland and just wanted to visit her. And it was really difficult.
It's fascinating that people are putting more limitations on you than you put on yourself.
Than yourself. Exactly. But also, like, this is one of the reasons, but this is not the only reason. Once I am at the airport, I would need someone to just come to pick me up, to help me for the luggage, to go to the hotel, for instance. So all those small details that everybody think it's normal, for me, it would be very difficult to do that all by myself because I would always have to think how I will do that. Is there any taxi man there? Is there any person that... And it's... Yeah, those are... things I cannot do, like traveling by myself, that I would have loved to do because I love traveling.
What's next for you? 6 years ago, if I had asked you, actually 7 or 8 years ago, if I had asked you, I don't know that any of what's happening now in your life would have been on that list. Can you look to the next 5 to 10 years at what is next for you other than being an amazing mother?
Thank you. I hope that I discover more about me. So it's a fantastic journey, I think, discovering, and I hope especially that this pandemic will stop so we can just have a normal life. I can go back to my drawing and painting class, and that we can travel again, because I don't know in the United States, but here in Belgium, it's a little bit difficult to travel at the moment. So yes, let's just hope to travel and to make my daughter discover the world, because she's like, she's still young, but I would like, she knows the world and she knows people around the world and how the world is beautiful.
How can people find you? How can people purchase your art? Tell people how to contact you.
They can contact me through Instagram, through YouTube, through my website. I have a blog, So it's sarahtalby.com. And about my paintings, I make exhibitions, but I'm also I make part of the Association of Mouth and Feet Painter. So this is a very amazing association that promotes the artists that work differently. They paint with feet or with mouth because of their disability. And I make part of this association, and we have some exhibitions. So don't hesitate. In each country of the world, there are always some activities around that.
I'll put all of those links into the show notes. Sarah, this has been a beautiful conversation. Thank you so much for sharing the time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You can watch this episode on YouTube and DB&A TV. Follow the Aaron Bender podcast on your favorite platforms and link to it at aaronbender.com. That's also where you can find all my social media. If you have guest ideas or comments, email me, aaronbendermedia@gmail.com. Be well, and thanks for listening.